Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
Welcome to Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9 with your hosts Alan and Hugh. Tonight we'll be talking to two Joy presenters, Jade and Alex. We will be talking about long-term relationships and asking the question, how did it last? And also ask another question, is it easy for different nationalities to have a relationship and how do we get over the cultural differences? Once again, we have another interesting show coming up tonight, so stay tuned to Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9.
Welcome to Orange Ribbon. You're with Hugh and Alan tonight. How are you?
How are you?
Good. Now, we've got an interesting topic that we're talking about on the program tonight.
We do. We have two Joy presenters with us tonight. We have Jade and Alex. Jade, tell us, what show are you from?
Oh, I'm from Different Strokes, 10 to 11 on Wednesday nights.
And Alex?
I do a show called Three Chords and the Truth on Sundays.
Excellent. Now, tonight we're going to have a discussion with both of you about your long-term relationships and where you come from and where your partners actually come from, because we've got four different nationalities here, haven't we? Jade, tell us a little bit about where you come from, though, first.
Well, I'm Australian. I don't know where I'm from. I don't know what my historical background is. I'm a mutt.
But you come from Victoria.
Yeah, I come from Melbourne. I'm born and bred in Melbourne. My girlfriend Katie is American. So,
right. So you're multi-generational Australian.
Yeah. As far as I can figure, at least back to my grandparents' parents, they were born in Australia. So, yeah, I just don't know what that background is.
And what about you, Alex?
Scottish.
No mistake in the accent.
Never recognise that, would we?
Where about in Scotland do you come from?
I come from the west coast, from a place called Kilmarnock.
Never been there.
I'm not going back.
Is it a small place or big town?
Yeah, 50,000 people.
Oh, it's not exactly small.
No.
And your partner then?
My partner's from Hong Kong, and I met him there in 1989.
20 years.
Yep, this year's our 20th
years.
Anniversary.
My goodness, that's amazing.
I mean, in gay relationships, that's and I thought, that's a long time.
I thought my 14 years was not too bad, but 20 years.
What about you, Jade? How long have you been with your girlfriend?
It's 4.5 years.
Right.
Yeah. It's not that long. We've known each other for, we knew each other for about 4 years before we were together.
Okay.
So.
Let's talk a little bit about the success of your relationship, because 4 years is quite a long time as well, but 20 years is huge. Just tell us a little bit about your partner, where they come from and what type of person they are.
Adam is from Hong Kong, from a typical Hong Kong family, lived in a very close-knit family in a small unit in Hong Kong, and they lived on top of each other, just with the nature of Hong Kong, we got to know each other at work. When I was working in Hong Kong, I left Scotland straight after university and went out there and thought I'd do a few months working there, and before I took on a career or whatever, and we met and didn't want to part again.
How did you meet? I thought it was at work.
Yeah.
But I mean, this was at a time when gay sex was still illegal in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
I think it was 91 or 92 or somewhere around about there.
Yeah. So we became friends at work, and then it was actually 9 months before we changed our relationship to a new level.
What about Katie? I mean, you met Katie in America, didn't you?
Yeah, I met Katie. I was on exchange in the US, going to university, and was playing rugby over there for the university team. And Katie was one of the players on the team. We were friends for about 4 or so years. Katie's originally from Oklahoma, which is in the Bible Belt of America. So,
And she's fairly religious.
I don't know if Katie would say that she is religious, but her family is very religious. Her mom is a minister, and her family are regular churchgoers. And I think growing up in that kind of culture, you know, having gone to visit where she's from in Tulsa, it is very, you know, there's a church on every corner. So,
How easy is it? If your partner comes from a different country from you, how easy is it with communication? I mean, I know that, you know, everyone speaks English, but, Jade, how did you find communicating with Katie, being Australian and her being American?
She actually tells this really funny story about how when we first met, she didn't know what my name was, because I said Jade, and she thought I meant something like Jade. And so she kept calling me that until someone actually corrected her and was like, Jade, because I guess my accent was too heavy or whatever. But Katie's been living here for 2.5 years. I think sometimes things will come up and she'll go, what does that mean? But it's normally like phrases rather than anything else.
What about you, Alex, with Adam, who's Hong Kong Chinese?
Mm-hmm.
Communication, was it easy at first?
It was pretty easy. I mean, we had mutual interests in music and so forth, and we just really wanted to get to know each other. I was there because I wanted to see, you know, a part of the world that was completely foreign and different to what I was used to, and sort of understand that, because I'm from a very European environment, and I thought that's the most different place I can get to. And I'm really interested in sort of Eastern things. So his English was good, but I didn't. Once we became a couple, I did not want to sort of accept that our conversations were limited to his level of English, so I chose to learn Chinese.
Cantonese. I started to learn Mandarin, but I haven't tackled Cantonese. That seems a little bit more difficult to me for some reason.
Yeah, it's pretty difficult, and I never got 100% there, but... good enough.
But what about communication in another sense, in terms of words and language used? Because I know even with my own partner, even today after 14 years, he will say things sometimes and means to say one thing, and I interpret it to mean something else because of the way that he constructs the English.
Yeah. Happens all the time. So being aware of that and making you know, double thinking before you open your mouth and make say the wrong thing is very important.
After 20 years, though, you must be so used to the way Adam speaks that, you know, you understand it.
Yeah, and another thing we do is Chinglish, where a sentence is half English and half Chinese, and we understand it. But because I've lived away from Hong Kong for 12 years now, my Cantonese is really bad. The tones are all over the place, but he's used to that as well, so he can make allowances for me.
Did you have similar problems, Jade, with Katie being American, or was it?
I don't think so. I think, me understanding her is not a problem because we, like, you know, here there's so much American TV or whatever, it's like you get so used to the way people talk. I think I probably get misinterpreted more than anything, just in terms of, you know, things mean different things. But I guess it would be small things, like if I feel like people, if they say, I'm fine here, that means, like, they're really crap, but I'm fine in America is actually good.
Oh, right.
So
right.
That kind of stuff is more about, you know, the way people use language.
But it's also interesting, with my own partner, in the early days, he would always want me to correct his, to correct his English.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got to the point now where I've got so used to his Singlish that I often don't pick it up anymore because I've become so used to the way that he speaks that I don't notice it anymore, and he chastises me sometimes because he goes, why didn't you correct me? Why didn't you tell me?
I suppose that goes back to what Alec just said, you know, after all the years together, you understand what they're saying, so mentally you're not thinking about the English or if it's good or bad. This is On Driven, you're listening to Alan and Hugh.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
This is On Driven, Joy 94.9's multicultural show with Alan and Hugh. And our guests tonight are Jade and Alex. And we're talking about long-term relationships and how we deal with different nationalities.
Intercultural long-term relationships.
Yes, yes. Let's go to Jade first. Jade, how do you find, with your girlfriend being American, how do you deal with relationship problems?
I don't think it's particularly. I think the problems that we have are, a lot of it was sorted out. We were separated for 18 months while we waited for visas and stuff to come through, and so I think we worked out all of that kind of the problems with our relationship over the phone. So we had to talk a lot about you know, how we were gonna live our lives and make decisions and do all of that kind of stuff. And a lot of our problems even now is around like how, you know, where we're going to live or, you know, what we're going to do next, because it's like you have to choose cultures or places to live, I guess.
Do you find with somebody from America that at home, for example, you have different ideas of how you should do things or, you know?
Not necessarily. I think I've kind of spent enough time in America, and she's been living here enough now that there's not a huge amount of difference, and it's not necessarily about culture anymore. You know, she's got a very close family life, and I don't necessarily have a close family life. So I think that we've kind of worked through whatever the cultural issues might be. You know, she's been good for me in a way that, you know, Americans are very focused on, you know, being, you know, the best at things and encouraging each other to be the best. And I guess since our relationship started, having that kind of encouragement has been helpful. But problems wise, I don't think, you know, I do make fun of Americans. That's somewhat problematic.
What about you, Alex? Because Adam is Hong Kong Chinese. There must have been some sort of little hurdles there at home and your eating habits and everything else. Because, I mean, the Chinese use chopsticks and we use knife and forks, for example.
Oh, yeah, and you don't want to have bad chopstick manner and be diving into the middle of a dish, or you get told off for that. That's for sure.
So have you got good or bad chopstick manner?
Oh, after a few years, you learn.
He's
learned. Oh, yeah.
A bit like me.
So explain the good chopstick manner, because I'm interested in it, because I don't know.
Oh, explain what that means. You know, in British culture, you're served a plate, and you eat off that plate. And in Chinese culture, there's shared plates in the middle of a round table, and you dive in and have what you like, and you pick it up. It's a bit like fishing.
Right. But you wouldn't use your chopsticks to pick up the food in the middle of the table?
You kind of can.
You do, yes.
Yeah,
you
but
do.
You don't have saliva running all over them, and you don't dive in front of someone because you're ready to eat. You sort of watch what's going on, and you wait and see where there's an opportunity, and you politely ask someone to twirl the table around so that it's in front of you.
What do you call it, that the thing it goes
the Lazy Susan.
Lazy Susan, yeah. That's it, yeah. So and is that do the Chinese have these at home as well? It's not just restrooms.
Some do, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not common, not at home. It's not common.
It's
more
a bit
of a
flash.
Restaurant.
Yeah. Okay. What about relationship problems? I mean, how do you and Adam work through it? You know, a Scotsman and a Chinese one.
Oh, it's one of those things. After 20 years, you block things out. But I would say there are some sort of ground rules. Harmony is very important for Chinese culture. It's important for anybody, but in particularly in Chinese culture, if you were to raise your voice when you're discussing something because you're excited or you're passionate about it, and it's important to you, you may raise your voice a little, and that would be completely counterproductive in me discussing something with Adam. It would be seen as shouting and aggressiveness and almost violence, abuse. Yeah, he would switch off and back away because it was seen as impolite.
Right, because in Scotland, people are get very excited, don't they?
Yeah, being excited is a good thing.
But everyone shouts over each other, you know, to get their point across.
Yep. But, you know, I have still to sort of control that. Mm. When if I want to achieve something in a conversation, then that's the wrong way to go about it.
Did you discuss, either of you, how to settle disagreements? I mean, in our own case, I suppose in 14 years we've probably only had 4 or 5, if I can remember, sort of major disagreements, if you like, where there's sort of a no-talk, sort of really wild and angry thing over usually some stupid little damned thing. But I've got a policy of never letting it go past the end of the day by trying to reconcile. Now, that's difficult to do sometimes. But, I mean, we've spoken about it, and we know, leave each other alone. If there's an argument, just let the other cool down and whatever, just go away and leave them for an hour or two. And
is your partner from a Chinese background?
Yes.
Yeah, well, that sounds familiar to me, that cooling off time is very important, whereas I can quite happily sort of, you know, turn the conversation around and then it's not an issue, but Adam does need time to do that. But, I must say, we had a problem. We identified a problem about five, six years ago, and we decided to attend a course at the VAC, the Gay Men's Health Centre, on relationships. And most of the people there were not in relationships, and they wanted to sort of, you know, get into one, and or they'd been in bad relationships.
Okay.
But we were in a relationship, and we still got a huge amount from that. And one of the things we got from that was the communication style. We decided we have been communicating in a very passive aggressive kind of way for many years, and
right.
That was not helpful and wasn't successful. And because we were able to identify it, now we're able to deal with it better.
On these courses, was it a mixture of gay men and lesbians, or just gay men?
It was all gay men, yeah.
What about you, Jade? Quickly, how do you settle arguments, or have you not had a major one yet?
I normally get over it within, like, an hour or so.
The 7-year itch is yet to come, Jade.
No, yeah, exactly.
So how does Katie perform in the argument?
You know, she'll, in most cases, I think a lot of our arguments are passive-aggressive. I think that we just get over it. It's just like, yeah, all right, whatever. I just say what I've got to say, and then it's over.
Excellent. You're listening to On Driven on Joy 94.9 with Alan and Hugh.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
I'm Truman with Hugh and Alan tonight, and Jade and Alex are our guests, and talking about intercultural long-term relationships.
We are, and I think I would like to actually talk about food at home, because I'm interested to know, and Jade, maybe you could start this off, because your partner's American, Katie's, you said, was the cook in the house. What type of style of food would you eat?
She just cooks normal stuff. She cooks but everything's really big, right? Because that's probably the it's not necessarily the food that's different. It's more the size of the food.
Volume.
Yeah.
Americans eat huge plates of food.
Yeah, huge plates of food. And then they have a lot of things around seasonal stuff. So with Thanksgiving, initially I thought all the Thanksgiving food was terrible, but now I love pumpkin pie, and there's a lot of stuff that's packaged that I think is ridiculous, but I kind of got used to it now.
Do you eat pumpkin, Alex?
No, not really.
Baked pumpkin. I love baked pumpkin. No. I love mashed pumpkin.
But you see, in Scotland, we feed pumpkin to the pigs. We don't eat it ourselves. What about in your house, Alex? Because Adam is Hong Kong Chinese.
Mm-hmm. We like food. We like our food. We cook a lot, and I tend to cook more Chinese dishes.
Right. Is that because Adam prepares?
Oh, you know, he's busy. He doesn't have time, and I get home first. So.
Right.
But I prefer a wide variety of food.
Would you ever consider buying Scottish food and giving it to Adam?
It's Scottish food's more about the special ingredients, you know, the fresh salmon from the loch or whatever. So I don't really think it's a style of food, more a quality of ingredients.
What if you're at home by yourself? Are there things that you will cook for yourself because you know you don't have to cook for Adam?
No. It's all about Chinese food.
Oh,
for
if
me,
my
no,
partner's away, I love poached eggs on toast, for example. He can't stand poached eggs on toast. So I'll invariably have poached eggs on toast if he's away. Yeah. Or something like that, because I wouldn't do it when he was home.
I couldn't live without my little bit of Scottish food every now and again. And I was in a long term relationship, and black pudding haggis, which I love, I absolutely love. And my partner was Indian, and he actually got to like it as well.
Yeah.
And recently, I stayed at his house, and he actually went to the butchers and bought me black pudding and haggis. So there
I
you
think
go.
When you live overseas, you eat what you can get, and you become very acquainted with it. So I was in Hong Kong for 7 years, so
right.
that's had a big effect on me.
How about your families? Do they accept your partners, Jade?
I don't really have a really close relationship with my family at all, so I think they probably prefer Katie to me.
But they know Katie.
They know Katie, and you know, I don't regularly see them or anything, so it's just
right. But they accept the fact that she's American, and
yeah, I guess so. In theory, they do. I don't know how they will feel about it when I eventually move away or whatever, but yeah, that's...
What about Katie's family? How do they accept you?
Katie's family are always are really accepting, and are always trying to get me to come and visit and spend time with me and all that kind of stuff and get to know me better, and yeah, so...
Because Americans love anybody who's got an accent.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I remember being in America and they love Scottish accents, but I would imagine they love an Australian accent as well.
Yeah, so. Her mum always says, I just love to hear her talk about me. So.
Well, the accent, mentioned about names. I can remember when I was in the US, no, I was in Canada many, many years ago, travelling with some friends, and one of my friends' name was James, who was in the back of the car in this the Canadian couple that we were travelling with. And I happened to say something about James was doing something or other, and the driver, who was Canadian, turned around and looked quizzically at me and said, "Jimes?"
Yeah.
Because they think that we pronounce our A's as I's, and we're not conscious of it at all.
No.
What about you, Alex? I mean, Adam's Hong Kong Chinese. How does his family accept you?
They don't know about me.
Don't know about you?
Mm-hmm.
So after 20 years, have you met his family?
No.
Oh.
I got one up on you there.
Been in his house, but I've never met his family.
So you were presented as a friend?
No, they weren't there.
Oh, they weren't there.
And, life has moved on, and we live in another country.
What about your family, then? Do they accept Adam?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, very much so. And they've seen him many times, and I always remember an incident that brought a tear to my eye when my brother was married, and this was 15 years ago, and there was a family photograph being taken with about 50 members of my family, and Adam was standing off to the side, and my mother knew about our relationship, but it was sort of early days. It was like a couple or two or three years into the relationship, and in the middle of this pose with the professional photographer, my mother rushed off to the side, grabbed Adam and brought him over and said, you're in this picture.
That was sweet.
Yeah.
But that's Scottish hospitality for you, isn't it?
I got a similar situation with respect to families. My family, my partner's accepted as just part of the family. It's not an issue at all. I have been inside his apartment, because actually has an apartment in Singapore in which his mother lives, who's some 80-something other. I have met his mother. She just thinks I am a friend. I have met an elder sister and his niece, who's almost the same age as him, and I think they suspect, but nobody talks about it.
Yeah.
But no, his mother, his father's since passed on, but his mother, I don't think, has a clue.
Do you think you'll ever get to meet Adam's family? Will he ever tell them about you? Or is
well,
it going to
I
be a
don't
secret?
Really know. I don't really know.
No? You've never spoken about it?
Sorry?
Have you ever spoken about it?
About meeting them?
Mm.
Oh, well, I would like that to happen, but I accept if it's not going to happen.
That's it.
Yeah.
This is On Driven on Joy 94.9 with Alan and Hugh.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
This is On Driven on Joy 94.9 with Alan and Hugh, and our guests tonight are Alex and Jade. And we're talking about long-term relationships and relationships with people from different countries. Alex, you've been in your relationship for 20 years. How do you keep it interesting? I mean, how does it last?
How does it last? Well, I suppose it's based on friendship, number one, rather than lust.
Yeah, that goes away after a while, doesn't it?
No. It was never about that. We were best friends for 9 months before we got together in that way. And having that foundation is tremendous.
Do you think it helped, the friends before the sex, did that help the relationship?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We built up that trust and interest in each other's brains before we were interested in other things.
Mm.
So it's just such a huge foundation.
And do you think it, in a long-term relationship, do you think it's important that you have your own interests and your own sort of life outside the relationship?
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, even having secrets, I don't think that's a problem either.
Right.
You don't want to be so much in each other's pocket. I mean, I often say that we're two halves of the same person,
okay.
But we are. But that's a cliche. We are different people.
So when you say secrets, you mean little things that you maybe do outside a relationship?
Yeah.
Things that Adam doesn't really need to know about, you don't need to know about.
I think that's normal. I think that's normal in most relationships, to be quite honest. I don't know.
Jade. What about you, Jade? Is it normal in a lesbian relationship? You know,
what, to keep secret?
Yeah. To have your little secret.
I don't think. Well, I don't want to speak for lesbian relationships everywhere, but I think our relationship, I don't think we have any secrets. But that's probably because we were separated for 18 months while visas came in, and we talked on the phone, and we just talked about everything. And so it's like you don't have anything anymore that's not, you know, that's an off topic or whatever.
Yeah.
But I do agree with Alex because Katie and I were friends for about 4 years before we were together. So
I would say that nothing in our relationship's off limits.
Yeah.
We trust each other completely.
Yeah.
It's just we don't put everything that happens into the other person's face.
Yeah.
Mm. It's like that old Carly Simon song. I wish I never knew some of those secrets of yours.
So just going back to what I asked you before, though, do you know any other lesbians who've got a relationship that's similar to what Alex is talking about?
No.
No?
No. But I don't know that many lesbians.
Lesbian couples.
No. I think, you know, I've had friends here and there who've gone out and seen people outside of their relationship or whatever, but that's normally without the other person knowing.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Alex, at the earlier in the program, you mentioned that one of the reasons that you got together in the first place was you did have some common interests.
Mm-hmm.
So do those common interests still exist, and how do the common interests fit in to your day-to-day activities when you have your separate things as well?
Yeah, one of the first things ever was music, and I remember buying Adam an old-style record, an EP, and hopefully we'll play it on the show, Blue Monday by New Order, and he had that same record, and he thought me buying it for him was very touching, and yeah, that's our song, I suppose.
So, in terms of activities away out that are not common, I mean, can you give us examples of the sorts of interests that you have?
Yep. Well, we first thing we did when we came to Australia was join a volleyball club, and he was passionate about that, and I went along for the ride. But it's not really my sport. Now I'm a big soccer fan and player, and now we have a gay soccer club in Australia, in Melbourne, so I get a chance to do that.
Alex has baited me along. I'm going to watch the soccer.
Oh, yeah. What about you, Jay? Do you have some common interests and some different separated interests as well?
I guess we're both really big into sports, and we met playing rugby, and so we love rugby. But and since Katie moved here, she's got really big into AFL, so we go and watch AFL a lot. And she's actually more obsessed with it than I am.
Really?
So,
goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've never understood it, so I still do.
Yeah.
Maybe you can explain it to me someday.
Yeah, and we have a lot of, you know, musical interests, and we like the same sort of movies, and we kind of have the same bizarre sense of humour, so, yeah.
Movies. Yeah. Now, that's interesting. I'll ask Alex the same question. Do you like the same side of movies? Because we don't.
Yeah, we get along fine. Oh, yeah, that's a common ground.
Chinese shoot 'em up, knock 'em down, all these bang, boom, crash, car crash things, and Jackie Chan sort of type things, and spook things, and I prefer something with an intelligent story to it.
I had 10.5 years of Bollywood, so, I mean, but major, that's mostly singing and dancing, so that's okay. So, let's move on to where you live, because Alex, you're Scottish, your partner's Hong Kong Chinese, but you've ended up living in Australia. Why?
Yeah, Adam always wanted to move to Australia, and I have been quite happily going along with what he wants to do for the last 20 years in terms of where we live.
So it's always his decision where you live?
Yeah, he wants to go to Singapore, he wanted to go to Australia, but I've been happy to do that.
Right. Would you ever consider moving back to Scotland?
Oh, look, I'd love to live there. From the point of being, I don't want to be on the other side of the world from my family.
Mm.
But Australia's a good compromise for us. It's a good situation for both of us. Mm.
Would Adam ever consider going and living in Scotland?
I don't think it's come up.
A bit too cold for it.
Yes, exactly. That's more of the issue.
Yeah. What about you, Jade? I know Katie once told me that, you know, she gets homesick.
Mm-hmm.
But you're in Australia, and, you know, are you going to stay here, or what's your plans?
At the moment, we do have to stay here because the US doesn't have any immigration laws for same-sex couples, and trying to get a green card is, you know, every man and their dog wants one.
Mm.
Australia has, Katie is here, I'm sponsoring her, and so that's the situation that's worked out for us. Mm. And
how far have you gone with the visa thing with Katie? Has she got the visa to work and live here? Or
she's a
permanent resident.
Mm. So she's a permanent resident here, and I don't think that Katie would say that she doesn't like living in Australia, and I think there are a lot of things that she does enjoy about Australia, and I think at the end of the day the reason she wants to go back to America is about her family more than anything. So yeah.
If you don't go back to America, is there a chance you may go somewhere else, or would you stay here?
We had talked about moving to Canada at one point, but we kind of thought that we would wait with the new election of the president or whatever, that things are starting to move a lot quicker with the immigration, and maybe it will happen in the next sort of 2 to 3 years, I guess.
Because at one point when I spoke to you and Katie before,
mm-hmm.
You spoke about Canada.
Mm-hmm.
That was an option. Have you ever went any further with that?
We kind of, after the election, we just thought, no, it's not worth moving to a third country. We'll just stay here. Because at that time, things really seemed hopeless, like it was never going to happen. And I think we're both more hopeful that there will be some sort of change in the legislation in the U.S. in the not-too-distant future.
I'd be doubt if it would be in the next year or two, but...
Let's very quickly move to Joy, because mm-hmm. you're two Joy presenters. Just remind us, Jade, what show you do.
I do Different Strokes with David Lim. It's David. On 10 to 11 on Wednesday nights.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're always here when we do Orange Riven, so...
Yes, I am.
How did you get involved with Joy?
I'd come back from living in the US, and Katie and I were apart, and I didn't really have any sort of network at all, and I was working in a place that was playing Joy, and I didn't really like the music or anything, because obviously it's just different music styles, but I went on their website, and they had a radio training program, and I was volunteering for another radio station. Mm. and
this is where you ended up.
Yeah.
And now you're the content producer at Joy as well, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
And how's that going?
It's good. It's challenging.
Are you content with
good.
It? Yeah.
What about you, Alec? Very quickly, how did you get into Joy?
Well, this is documented in a magazine article by my co-presenter, Andy Mack.
Right.
He did all the running, all the hard work, and I just schlummed in and said, oh, yeah, I'll come along on a Sunday with you. Why not?
And how long ago was that? Because you've been doing that for three, 4 years or something.
Yeah, more than 3-4 years now, yeah.
Is your show on at the moment?
We're coming back in July.
Right.
Mm. And we're on a Sunday afternoon playing all sorts of different music to the typical Joy playlist.
You do some, correct me if I'm wrong, but you do some...
It's blues, folk, country, gospel, acoustic,
that's what I was
going to
say, gospel.
Yeah, a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So Quentin Crisp once said, to paraphrase him... being a gay man is not... you don't need to love disco and dance music to be a gay man.
So. Yeah, I agree. Anyway, that's just about it for tonight. So we've been speaking to Jade and Alex in
Cultural
Relationships. Thanks very much for joining us.
That's On Driven for another week. Our special thanks to Jade and Alex for the story. Coming up next, unfortunately, we don't have Global Science, but we have another Paul Anthony show. Thanks for joining us on Driven tonight. We'll be back again at the same time, 7 p.m. next Wednesday, with more insights into our GLBT multicultural community here in Australia and around the world. Thanks to Nick on reception for his help tonight. From Alan and myself, Hugh, bye-bye.
Bye.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.